上帝却当作你说明了，长生法子当你教自己，当你去信解法子的。若能明显三经之个人说，上帝却当作你说明了，长生法子当你教自己，当你去信解法子的。若能明显三经之个人说。三界却当作君从了，想知八度当人教师，大给学习解放的大给着狼狈，三界之个人修。刚给组织你中的大我同学帮不起来，当被训练的活动带了枪支喽，细心全国教育组织改善单位建筑临时组长的背景上面这个。同学准备蹲在那上菜了，那么他也看到了，当中这个厨房当中没有给弄的之后，估计这弄吃着，他们就给的大批确定都不是阿姑那边嘛，全部都吃的嘞，
다시 들리겠어.
대리님 잘한 질문 다
It's my pleasure to come here, and I'm very happy to be here with inform all of you. We are starting our so we have the subject, and we will start to do question and answers.
Can I recite Sadhana's Lying Down?
Next life, I'm born in Australia.
Yes.
I am who there. He said he changed his internet.
Ah, thank you, Keshula, for translating. Keshula, when we're doing our Sadhana practice, can we do them in bed lying down? Or do we have to sit up?
If you are sick, yes.
So, with regard to the practice and whether one can lie down or one has to do this in a usual position, if you are sick, then it's okay. The practice by lying down, especially this guru or the yoga with regard to this God or whatever you are envisioning. Actually, one should have respect to these sorts of practices. And with regard to the practice of bodhicitta and also the emptiness, of course, it can be done while you are going in washroom also. So this is once His Holiness tells this, and I really remember this. So if you are not so sick, then it's always important, or it's good to do these practices, not by lying down. And with regard to do the practices, especially about this yoga of visioning the deity. So actually, it's the practice of this is actually the tantric practice. It's important to place your body in such a way where usually we are saying that seven postures of Varuchena. So this is very important here. And since once we sit in such a posture, then what happens is our wind and a wind or channel and are like more comfortable. And actually, so that's why this a body, wind, and channel are aligned in a such a way that one can practice very well. So it's quite important here. So if that body, wind, and channel are not aligned, then what happens is it leads to that our mind is, our mind will wanders. So that's why it's important to place, or it's important to sit in such a way that where all our body, wind, and all these aligned carefully.
Three principal aspects of the path. Okay, samkhara. Pronunciation, bodhicitta, correct view. Why this order? My thought is that bodhicitta is the energy for renunciation. That if you have bodhicitta, you will be more able to have renunciation. It will be stronger, it will be easier because you're doing it for others, not just for yourself. And if you're doing it for yourself,
년종차서 다오승구 고름아요.
어 다오승기 고름 뒤에 나니 당보 뒤에 중시하고 해도 가르레스. So with regard to this renunciation, bodhicitta and correct view, why first renunciation? Here, we need to think that, especially, first we need to think about the afflictive emotions. Which is overpowered, we are being overpowered by afflictive emotions. And oneself, here, first one should think in such a way that oneself is overpowered by afflictive emotions. So if we cannot generate this thing, then one will not be able to think for the others. When I say think for the other means, so may all sentient beings be free from suffering. So this we are thinking for others. So when we speak about this renunciation or definite emergence, this is a mind which a mind which tries to free from suffering, free from all the sufferings. So free from suffering here in the sense that one is trying to free from the both karma and afflictive emotions. So when we are, you know, free from both karma action and this afflictive emotions, then actually one will arise this definite emergence or renunciation. And with respect to renunciation or definite immersion in definite emergence, and actually one needs to understand what is suffering. So here suffering refers to the falling or overpowering or the under the power of both under the power of both karma and afflictive emotions. So here when we talk about definite emergence, we need to think on this. And maybe we can think like that. So we need to understand what is suffering. So suffering here refers to we are, one is being under the power of afflictive emotions. Here we need to think in such an order. Firstly, as I mentioned earlier, that we need to understand this suffering. And suffering in the sense that we are being under the power of afflictive emotions. So first we need to, one needs to think for oneself, then we need to think for other sentient beings. May all other sentient beings be free from suffering. So first, in its order is like that. First, one need to think for oneself, then we need to expand in the other sentient beings. So this is in such order. Actually, one needs to think about oneself here. What is this sufferings? And suffering here refers to under the power of being under the power of afflictive emotions, first one need to think for oneself, and this same like thinking, and then actually expand to other sentient beings too. So here we need to understand what is definite emergence or renunciation. So renunciation here, it's refers to the mind which thinks or aspiration for you know free from suffering. This is called renunciation, and actually then at that focal object or focused object is we need to change. First we think about oneself, then we need to change for others. So when we change this focused object, then what happens is we can call this is compassion. So on the basis of this compassion, then one can generate this bodhicitta mind or enlightenment mind. One should understand arises in one's own mental continuum, and also one should be able to understand what are the what is this afflictive emotions or negative emotions, and because of this afflictive emotions acts as the root, and all the suffering comes from that afflictive emotion. So one should think about all these things. So here then, if we see someone or if we see some person who has lots of afflictive emotions or negative emotions, then we can feel that we can generate compassion towards that particular person. So if we don't examine ourselves, so how these afflictive emotions or negative emotions arises in one's own mental continuum, then what happens is that when we see someone with lots of negative emotions or afflictive emotions, then what happens is that we, you know, generate or the aversion and anger arises. So it's important to first one need to think about oneself, how this afflictive emotions arises. For example, myself, of course, I became a monk since very young age, and I studied or practice or contemplate on this Buddhist scriptures for many years. Even then, if I don't see or the if I don't check myself, the how this afflictive emotions or negative emotions arises in my own continuum, if I don't check that, then what happens is even I may be saying that, okay, I'm doing this religious practices and all this practices well, but what it brings is that, of course, I'm not doing the religious practice well. So if somebody wants to do the practice or religious practice well, then first one needs to think about this negative emotions or afflictive emotions. Then if we then what is this, how this negative emotions acts and how it leads to suffering and so forth. So one needs to think about this negative emotions and afflictive emotions usually. So if we think about one's own afflictive emotions or negative emotions, then what happens is if we some other person who has lots of negative emotions, then one will be able to generate this compassion. And as I said earlier, that then later the basis with the basis of compassion, then one can actually generate bodhicitta too. Yeah, the most important thing is always try to examine or check one's own negative emotions or these afflictive emotions, and how one should be able to discard or eliminate these negative emotions. And especially with regard to the Buddhism, so we are always talking about these afflictive emotions and clear away, try to clear away all this, or try to dispel all these negative emotions. Most of us right now, what's happening is, of course, we are saying that we are practicing Buddhism, and we are doing the religious practices. So most of us, what's happening right now is we tend to forget how to change this arising of these negative emotions. And we also do is what we do is we all always try to see others' faults and see others' negative emotions and others' afflictive emotions. And by doing that, we tend to forget to check one's own negative emotions. So actually, this is a wrong thing to do. The best thing is to look for oneself within, and especially try to see one's own this negative emotion, how this negative emotion arises in one's own mental continuum. And we also should apply in daily life that how to discard or clear away all these negative emotions. So then what happens is that one day one will be able to liberate or to attain moksha. And when we talk about this moksha or liberation, then we are actually saying that that liberation means that abandonment of all the negative emotions. Here, with regard to this compassion, so compassionate mind and definite emergence, so both actually focused on the free of suffering here. And with regard to free of suffering for oneself, then it's actually the mind which aspire for free of suffering is then we can call it a definite emergence or this renunciation. And the mind, the aspiration for free of suffering for all sentient beings, then this generation of compassionate mind arises in one's own mental continuum. Then when we talk about aspiration of free of suffering, so suffering here, we are not talking about only this lifetimes, only lifetimes such as this food we that we eat, and clothes that we wear, and also name and fame. We are not talking only about the suffering, about this all pervasive suffering. So here, all pervasive suffering refers to the suffering which acts as this acts as basis, and the lots of suffering will arises through that. So when we talk about free of suffering and also clearing away all the sufferings, then with suffering, so we are talking more about this afflictive emotions, because this afflictive emotions or negative emotion is the one which overpowered our mind all the time. So that's why we need to clear away or abandon this afflictive emotions through our mental continuum.
Ni nidhidi yabuji tongdi bina nyumungbi shangandu kyur yobad yaa tongwa ina. Tini nyumungbi shangandu kyur sadi ani shenpa paa shangandu suzu dachik kecheshu di kiwa la yaa dhiray dwasar.
So if we are able to see or recognize that or we are being underpowered by the afflictive emotions. So if we are able to see this or recognize this, then so it will be beneficial for us. And for example, like, okay, we are being born and one day we will die. So even this by birth or by born and death, this is something that we don't have choice or we don't have power. And actually this is false. This falls under the power of this negative emotions or afflictive emotions. Since we are under the power of this afflictive emotions, then what happens is, so if we try to see other person who have lots of this negative emotions, then what happens is we generally tend to arise this aversion or anger. And if we try to see or recognize this negative emotions to oneself, this negative emotion arises, how it arises. If we try to think like that on and also this negative emotions, we are under the power of negative emotions, then one will be able to generate compassionate mind to other person. Even that person, when we see that person has lots of negative emotions. Even, for example, like if somebody tells us that I'm going to kill you, then at that time, at that particular time, we should be able to think that, okay, he is saying such things because he is under the power of afflictive emotions. So if we try to think that way, then of course we can generate compassionate mind, we can generate compassion. And in general way, in normal way, we can say that if somebody says I'm going to kill you, then naturally you will be in anger. So it's always important to see that actually it's always important to see one's own faults, and especially this negative emotion arises in one's own mental continuum. So maybe we can think like that. Here, it's very important to recognize the faults of negative emotions or afflictive emotions. So if we don't recognize this faults of afflictive emotions, then what happens is sometimes that this our parents or especially mother is so kind to us. And if we don't see the faults of afflictive emotions, then what happens is this a very important person to you, such as mother, we will get angry towards that most important person in your life. For example, maybe it might be like your parents or spiritual master or guru. So it's very important to recognize the faults of afflictive emotions. So if we understand or recognize the faults of the afflictive emotions, then if somebody says that I will kill you, then it doesn't it will not affect you. Rather, actually, then it will help to generate compassion towards that particular person. So as we are talking about this one needs to understand this afflictive emotion faults of afflictive emotions. Actually, from the very beginning, once we become Buddhist, from the very beginning, actually, we take refuge towards the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So here, Buddha is the main teacher, and Dharma is the main refuge. And Sangha here is actually one's own spiritual friends. So when we talk about this going refuge to Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, so at that particular time, then as I mentioned earlier, that Dharma is here, the real refuge here. So when we talk about real refuge, then actually we need to understand that abandonment of all the afflictive emotions. So actually we are talking about liberation here, and Buddha himself has actually Buddha himself is the main teacher here. So, and also with regard to this Sangha is actually the spiritual friends.
Thank you, Krishna. Building on that, meaning emotions, how does that work with morality and the definition of morality in Western culture has got a lot to do with Christian sort of morality, but the definition of morality in the Dharma is a different kind of flavor. Basically, the question is, how do you determine if some action of body, speech, and mind is moral or immoral?
And generally, generally speaking, then actually all the phenomena are existence in a such that where this all these phenomena are dependent with each other. So as I said earlier, that all the phenomena are dependent on each other. For example, like Robert yourself, you are quite big. When I say your body is quite big, so actually what I'm saying is you are bigger than me. And we can also say that you are quite small with regard to other very big person. And with regard to this moral and immoral, or how to determine the action of body, speech, or mind, or whether is it moral or immoral, is also like dependent on each other. So it depends. It depends also. So here, when if you ask such questions, where this depend? When you say they depend on others, so how this depend? So here we are talking more about whether is this action of body, mind, and speech occurs with regard to the Buddhism or not. So we are talking here like this. Might be someone who, you know, don't believe in Buddhism, and of course, so if they don't believe Buddhism, then we cannot, you know, bring that particular person to you know, the whatever is being said in Buddhism itself. So actually, there we cannot, you know, tell that particular person that you are, you know, like doing moral things and immoral things. So we can't say much to that particular person. But if you are Buddhism, and especially if you are practicing this Tibetan Buddhism, then of course, if you want to become a better person, or if you want to you know, do the better things in this particular world, then what happens is, of course, whatever your body, mind, and speech, or action of your body, mind, and speech, it's something one should accord to whatever it is being written or said in this particular text. So is it okay?
Just that.
Of course, in different countries, and we eat, sometimes what happens is we eat different food, and of course, different taste also that food we eat. And with regard to this negative emotions or afflictive emotions, especially this ignorance of grasping at self-existence, and attachment, aversion, and all these negative emotions or afflictive emotions. And I guess there is no difference with regard to Easterners or Westerners, or even the Eastern people or Western people. They have this all negative emotions. This arises in one's own mental continuum, whether it's attachment, aversion, pride, and all these things. Is this all similar? There is no difference at all. And Geshe also gives this cat, so Eastern cat and this Western cat. So with regard to the sound cakes, it's of course I guess similar. So here Geshe is saying that that all the negative emotions that once arises in mental continuum with regard to the Westerners or Easterners, these are all similar.
Similar or same is big different.
No.
No.
Same.
Yeah. Is ignorant, Asians ignorant or Western ignorant is same. Not similar, same.
Yeah.
Not the little Kodra. Similar said the Dawood orders, mother.
So Geshe-la feels that in English term, this there are two terms, similar and same. So anyhow, Geshe-la is trying to say that there's all these afflictive emotions or mental these negative emotions afflictive emotions, whether you are Westerner or Easterner, there is no difference at all.
Similar is cat, Asian cat or Western cat, the same language. Cannot it. Yeah, Sharam. No culture. Same illusion. Maybe a little bit different power. Your ignorant and my ignorant is same.
But different power.
So with regard to these negative emotions or afflictive emotions, these negative emotions is that everybody or all the six transmigrators have this afflictive emotions or this negative emotions. So Buddha Shakyamuni has shown the path, or the Buddha Shakyamuni taught us that it's antidotes of afflictive emotions. So this antidote is this one antidote. So here antidote is this the wisdom realizing emptiness. So this antidote is actually pervaded to all the afflictive emotions, and whether it's Easterners or Westerners, this afflictive emotions. So that's why we can say that Buddha Shakyamuni is the teacher of all the sentient beings, because he has shown the path, or he has taught us this antidote of afflictive emotions. So Buddha Shakyamuni taught us this, and taught us the reality or the truth to all of us.
Please explain each line of the first verse of A Direct Meditation on the Graduated Path Containing All the Important Meanings by Dorje Chang Losang Jinpa. So, essence encompassing all the Buddhas, originator of all the holy dharmas of scripture and realization, principle of all the Aryas intending virtue, in the glorious holy gurus I take refuge. Please explain the meaning of each line.
So Geshe-la said some verses. So I'm just trying to find that verse. Said that There is a tree, like lambim. So this lambim is actually, it's called Song of Spiritual Experience. And with this very first line, it states that your body is created from a billion perfect factors of goodness. Your speech satisfies the yearnings of countless sentient beings. Your mind perceives all objects of knowledge exactly as they are. I bow my head to you, O chief of the Shakya clan. It seems that these four lines is the meaning is similar. So when we talk about Buddha Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha, or this Buddha Shakyamuni, he became Buddha, or he became enlightened one, because of many causes and conditions. So because of all these causes and conditions, he became enlightened one. As this very line, your body is created from a billion perfect factors of goodness. So here it states that all the goodness or the a billion perfect factors. So that's it's actually saying that it's a cause. So when we talk about many causes and conditions, so we are talking about as one Anila asks the question about the renunciation or definite emergence and this bodhicitta and perfect view. So these are all the causes and conditions. By perfecting all this definite emergence, enlightened mind, perfect view, by perfecting all this, then actually one become enlightened one, or one become abled one. So here, when we talk about this, all these causes and conditions, especially a billion perfect factors of goodness. So here it states that if one can develop all the goodness or all the virtuous actions, so if one can practice in such a way, then actually Buddha Shakyamuni became or Buddha Shakyamuni have attained such state. So in the same way, we are able to practice that if we are able to perfect the all the virtuous actions or all the virtuous things, then we can become a Buddha too. And with regard to the second line, it states here this the question itself, originator of all the holy Dharma of scripture and realization. So when we talk about this scripture, scriptural teachings, and the all the great, middling, and short, the whatever being taught by Buddha Shakyamuni himself, and the nature of reality, especially the Four Noble Truths. And Buddha Shakyamuni taught us all this great text. So here it refers that scriptural teachings is we are talking about all these things. And with regard to the teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni, and Buddha Shakyamuni, the teachings actually it can be divided into two. One is like scriptural teachings, and the one is like realization itself or direct experiential, direct experience. The teachings of Buddha is it is able to establish all the good things of all the sentient beings. This Buddha Shakyamuni's teachings can clear away all the negative emotions or this afflictive emotions. Of course, then the Buddha's teaching is the very best one. And I'm not just saying that, it's actually a reality. And this third line here, third line, it's stated that principle of all the Arya's intending virtue. So here Arya refers to the, so here Arya means actually in English it's called superior being from common people. When we say superior being or Arya being is that realizing the emptiness directly. So when that person realizes the empty directly, then he or she becomes Arya. So and Arya is also comes from, you know, the teachings that which is taught by Buddha himself. So if there is no teachings which is taught by Buddha, then there will be no Arya being. Also in this third line, it's said that principle of all the Aryas intending virtue. And with regard to fourth line, it reads, in the glorious holy gurus I take refuge. For example, like this historical Buddha at the during the Pa, before becoming enlightened one, actually Buddha Shakyamuni has gone through he endeavors the path. So actually at that time he practiced bodhicitta or enlightenment mind. And when we talk about this bodhicitta mind or enlightenment mind, at that time there is one promise that after becoming Buddhahood, after attaining the Buddhahood, then I will help to all the sentient beings as much as I can. So this is actually a question, how after, you know, like attaining enlightenment, how one is able to you know, help other sentient beings? This is the question. And this actually, this fourth line is actually the answer of that question. And fourth line, it reads, in the glorious holy gurus, I take refuge. Actually, Buddha Shakyamuni himself came into this earth and he is no more right now. And when he was here in this beautiful earth, he came here as like spiritual guru. And he taught us, you know, many teachings. He gave us many teachings. And because we are not fortunate enough to see Buddha Shakyamuni right now, but of course we can, you know, read or reflect on his teachings. And on top of that, we can also, like, through all the gurus, through the spiritual masters, we can actually have access to all the texts and all the teachings that which has been taught by Buddha Shakyamuni himself. So that's why in this fourth line it states that in the glorious holy gurus I take refuge. And in all the texts of Lamrim, or graduated path to enlightenment, so all these texts actually stated that spiritual masters or gurus are, you know, gurus plays a very important role, and they are very important. And not only that, so these spiritual masters have special, it needs to have special qualities. With regard to the teachings of Buddha, so as I mentioned earlier, that it can be divided into two. One is scriptural teachings and one is the realization teachings. So the realization teaching here refers to the direct experiential or direct experiences. So with regard to these realization teachings, we are talking about three higher trainings: the training of morality, the training of meditative stabilization, and training of wisdom. So when we talk about this spiritual masters, the spiritual master should have all these qualities within him or herself. And with regard to scriptural teachings, and that gurus should have, like first listen, then contemplating or contemplate or think about that particular text, or and then meditate, or anyhow the hearing, listening, contemplate and meditate on the all these texts. So if somebody has all these qualities, then actually one can rely on this spiritual gurus. And through that spiritual gurus or spiritual masters, then actually one can access these Buddha's own teachings, and one will have blessings through spiritual masters of Buddha Shakyamuni himself.
Thank you, Chamurestra.
I just wanted to ask, in the prayer before the teaching, it talked about compassion and it being the lowest, putting yourself as the lowest when others are there. And similar to the talks you gave before, I'm wondering how we determine the difference between compassion and putting ourselves as the lowest and the time to take action. So what is the difference between compassion and submission? And how do we determine the right way to take action when it's needed? One group of people transgress against the others. How do you determine that? And what is compassion in that situation?
When we talk about this putting oneself lowest among others, so here we need to understand that when we talk about self means only one person. So when we talk about others, it is innumerable and uncountable. So we are talking about all other sentient beings. Here the question arises naturally, is which one is more important? So now the answer is, I'm for sure, or it's 100% sure that other person or others are more important here. For example, like I means myself, only myself here, and others means here in this assembly hall. We have around 20 to 30 people. If I, have to die here, or if I have to, die for, for the betterment of all of you, like 20 or 30 person in this hall, so of course, I means only one person. So that means it's not relevant at all. So that is what I'm trying to say here is, 20 or 30 person is more important than one person. So that means us here, I means only oneself, and others means it's something uncountable. So when we talk about submission or surrender, then we need to think that as to surrender means to surrender oneself to others. So here it's actually saying that surrender oneself to others means, or it refers to the whatever the greater meaning, the more meaningful way, or if we can surrender, then we are talking about this. So here it depends. So whatever work you might have done, whatever you might have done, especially for example, like if you have done something and it causes harmful to like 10 or 20 person. On the other hand, you might have done something which is helpful for like 100 or 1,000 people. So we need to see which one is better. Of course, this is the latter is more relevant and more beneficial to oneself. And the whatever the action you have done is, for example, like if it is not beneficial for oneself and others, then it's better not to do that particular job or particular work. So so whatever the you might have done, if it is not helpful to other, then you can consider. So actually in question it has written that we still consider ourselves the lowest. So lowest, or maybe we can say like it is the wrongful act. We can say like this.
What is the Dharma Dhatu?
So here Dharma Dhatu or is this emptiness has a similar meaning?
You ask, what's the difference between Dharma Kaya and Dharma Dhatu?
The difference between this Dharma Dhatu and Dharma Kaya, or the emptiness and this Dharma Kaya, or truth body. So so here we need to think that after meditating on emptiness, so if we keep on meditating on emptiness, then what happens is at a certain stage this all the mental afflictive emotions will be pacified. So at that very pacified, and at that very moment that this emptiness or this Dharma Dhatu becomes the truth body or Dharmakaya. Here we need to understand afflictive emotions and its antidotes. So the actual antidote of afflictive emotions. So here afflictive emotions refers to the ignorance or ignorance of, you know, like grasping at self-existence. When we talk about this ignorance is the mind, which is the like wrong consciousness. This mind, the actual the contradicts direct contradiction, a mind which directly contradicts the mode of apprehension. So it is called the wisdom realizing emptiness. So wisdom realizing emptiness and the ignorance, is they both contradicts with each other. So once we develop or meditate on the wisdom realizing emptiness or emptiness, then what happens is one will be able to discard or eliminate all the afflictive emotions, especially this ignorance of grasping at self-existence. When we say that at certain stage this ignorance will abandoned, so this ignorance will clear away. So when we say this clearance of this ignorance, so then we are not saying that this ignorance will go to some other places. Actually, what happens is by developing or by meditating on emptiness, this emptiness is actually, you know, helping to clear away the ignorance. For example, like so there is a space, and space is covered by this cloud. So if the cloud clears away, then what happens is one will be able to see the space very clearly. Like that, then if we meditate on emptiness, then at a certain stage, the, you know, like all these afflictive emotions, afflictive emotions, especially the ignorance of grasping at self-existence, will be, you know, cleared away. So at that particular moment, what happens is that very, you know, this emptiness. So emptiness is actually, we can say that it is Dharmakaya. So actually, first we are, you know, like meditating on emptiness. So emptiness, the emptiness helps to clear away the ignorance. And later, that emptiness itself becomes, because one has seen this emptiness directly, and later one, you know, will be able to attain Dharmakaya too. So if I try to make it a little bit clearer, then what right now in our mental continuum, or you know, there is emptiness. So emptiness of our mind. So right now our emptiness of our mind is not is this Dhammakaya. And once we develop, or once we meditate on this emptiness, then at a certain stage, then you know this very emptiness become this Dhammakaya.
When one is dying, the recommended posture is lying on the right side, resting one's head on the right hand. Why is this?
So generally speaking, if one is right-handed person, then what happens is usually whatever we do wrong things, we do by our right hand.
Ah.
So at the time of dying, then because this, since this, you know, this right hand is doing only, you know, negative actions, so that's why at the time of dying, then your head is actually your head is actually, you know, maybe showing that this you know, bad hand, not I don't know how to say this. Maybe trying to cover this right hand.
No, just joke.
So earlier, whatever I have told is just a joke. So why, when one is dying, the recommended posture is lying on the right side? So I guess this is like, maybe, you know, like in our body, in general speaking, our body, you know, this actually has this wind and also nerves. So maybe with regard to this nerve, it's because of this, maybe one is recommended to you know, like lying on the right side. Or especially if one is offering, then actually one should use the left hand. In the point of that way, then maybe whatever you are doing in your life, even with regard to your body also, then it's best way is it's not to, you know, fall under the power of afflictive emotions. And generally speaking, the right hand side is, you know, right hand side of our whole body, it has, you know, like this possibility of arising the negative emotions is more. And so that's why it's recommended in such a way. On top of that, as I mentioned earlier, that whatever the activity you are doing, it, you know, it's best or better not to, you know, create a condition where, you know, this afflictive emotion arises. So that's why at the time of dying, our, you know, like this the right hand side, you know, falls under the head. And by doing this, your this wind and also nerves are, you know, like becoming irrelevant or less energetic. And also then and it will lead to your all this negative thinking will submerged, or negative thinking will be, you know, become lesser.
You go back sleep. And then I always going this. It's just sometimes it got this, and then it's wrong.
So we all have same experience like this. Sometimes our left hand go, you know, right under our head, and sometimes our right hand go under our head. So, for example, myself, and most of the times when I sleep, my right hand goes, you know, under my head. So at that particular time, what happens is, you know, like the dreams will be better. So dreams is not something that it's very, you know, bad dreams comes. But sometimes, you know, I fall asleep, then my left hand goes under my head. At that time, a dream is also like very bad dreams comes. And I'm not trying to say here as I've got a realization, but anyhow, most of the times, my right hand, you know, at the time of sleep, my right hand, you know, goes under the head.
Geshe-la, in the time that we have left, I wanted to ask about what is the best way to think about burglars when you're burgled or when your stuff is stolen from a Buddhist point of view?
Le karma.
In Buddhist perspective, we can think as it is as, you know, like karma or actions. So if we can think like that, then actually it will bring more beneficial to oneself. So if we don't think in that way, so whatever happens, or it's because of karma, then what happens is at that particular time, our, you know, like whatever the wealth is being stolen or robbed by someone else, then at that time we feel that we tend to think that, you know, we might have lots of doubt, or he might have done this, she might have done this, and also like we are creating more negative emotions, and we are creating more, you know, unwholesome deeds. On top of that, we are actually suffering more. So on the other hand, if we try to think that, okay, this is a karma, and this is more beneficial for you, and of course, it's 100% sure that it's the karma. I will try to say one thing here, and I'm not saying this to one particular person. I will just try to say as you know, generally.
Ani nganzo ta komba ta chuzo.
Temple, monastery, or institution, or dharma centers, whatever. Of course, we have so many work to do, and also we are, you know, like asking money from sponsors and benefactors. And when we ask some money from the benefactors or sponsors, it's at that time it's very important. Whatever the the money asks for, for example, like if we try to maybe build something at that particular time, if we, you know, get some kind of money, then it's very necessary to spend whole money on that particular job or on that particular work. So I have seen, you know, like many cases that it's not doing in that particular way. So all of us should be, you know, like be very careful about that. And as I mentioned earlier, that it's very important to spend the wealth or money to whatever purposes that we ask from the benefactors or sponsors.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.